you probably noticed there are quite a few doors hanging around the room. It's because we're in a series right now that's called Open Doors. And while there are doors all around the room, we have come to believe that there are open doors for you all over the place. When we talk about open doors, we've been saying that open doors are invitations provided by God to act with God and for God. The idea is God is putting opportunities in front of you to join Him, to be part of something more meaningful than really just living for yourself. That's what we've been talking about these last few weeks. And today, Pastor Billy is going to continue, and he's really going to help us see that oftentimes the attitude you have when you walk through an open door is more important than the door you walk through itself. Your attitude is what you can control. You can't control what open doors are going to come in front of you, but the way you enter into them is really, really important. So we're going to continue in that, but before we do, I want to invite you, if you wouldn't mind grabbing your program, and inside of there is your connection card, and if you would go ahead and just fill that out. Most of us know the deal with this. If you're new here and you want to fill out some information, we would really appreciate that. We will not show up at your door, and we will not stalk you or anything like that, but we do want to connect with you and pray for you and just figure out how we can help you along your journey. Along with that, if you are new, in the back at the Connection Center on your way out, there's just a little gift for you. It's a small little book really about Jesus, and we want to continue to help point you toward Jesus. And so that's a gift from us to you if you're interested.
Thanks, ladies. Here's what I want you to do this morning. I do want you to take your message outline that's in there. I want everybody to just stand for just a moment. I want you to take that because we're going to point some things out to it, or either that or Matthew chapter 10. And I'm going to say this to you, and then I'm going to have us to read something together out loud. That ultimately, an open door, as we've already said, is an invitation provided by God. Can I say it again? It's an invitation provided by God to act with God and for God. I want us to put up that next slide, which is a portion of the story that we're going to deal with this morning. And let's just read this out loud. Matthew chapter 10, verse 16. Let's read it together. Behold, I am sending you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. So be wise as serpents and innocent as doves. Remain standing and let's pray for a minute. Almighty God, we want to, even now, as a congregation, as a gathering of believers who gathers in this place, we not a building that is a church, but we are the church body. It's the gathering of believers. We gather together today to hear, not from me or from anyone else or a worship team or anything else, but to hear from you. Realizing that the human element is here in all of this, but thinking about this great story that Jesus, you told so long ago about sheep being sent out into the world and the behavior of our lives and the doors that are open to us. I pray that you would use this time to help us understand your words from 2,000 years ago and understand the application of this and the implementation of this into my life now. So we lift this all up to you and give this moment to you in the name of Jesus. We say this prayer. Amen. Let's all be seated. In this story, it's a great story. I want you to capture. I always like it when people open their Bibles to where this is at, either a tablet or a phone or an actual physical piece of paper Bible, but it's Matthew chapter 10, Matthew, the first book in the New Testament. And in that story, when you follow it through, you know, and I have a habit of trying to read the gospel stories of Jesus all the time. It's just fascinating because everything that we have and believe really rests upon Christ, Jesus Christ, the Son of God who came into this world. And so in that context of that story, Jesus was going from town to town, place to place. And already, several remarkable things had taken place. He'd healed people. He'd touched a lot of people's lives. He'd already made a fairly sizable mark on the world around him. And people began to realize, this man is an amazing teacher. He's an amazing communicator. And he really did miraculously heal people too. Taught the Sermon on the Mount just a few chapters before this. But then we get down into chapter 10, and it's like Jesus was very much trying to implement to them, the format of where he was going with his life and ministry, and now turning it over already to those who were followers of him. That's us. You see, Jesus was inserting himself in the midst of a lot of tattered lives. You see that in his story over and over again. He looked from place to place and, you know, looked out into the fields white with harvest, you know, went into cities and was overwhelmed with, in a sense, sorrow, sadness, brokenness. He was overwhelmed with that. And now he was commissioning and sending his own followers, those that he had chosen who were now following him. He was sending them out into that world. In fact, you can follow along in your Bible. I also have this written in the outline that's in your bulletin as well. But in Matthew chapter 10, I'm going to read the whole story and make some commentary, a little bit of commentary. Look at this along with this. It says this in verse 5. It says, "Then Jesus sent out with his followers these following instructions. Do not go amongst the Gentiles or enter into any town of the Samaritans, but rather go to the lost sheep of Israel." We sometimes struggle with that and wonder, does he not care about the rest of the world? Well, I'm not going to have time to deal with all of that, but ultimately in the beginning of all this, he's saying, let's go to Jerusalem. Let's stay at home. Eventually the gospel will go to the rest of the world. But moving on, he says, but as you go, now you get this, I'm sending you out there, but as you go, preach this message. And what is it? Say it with me out loud. The kingdom of heaven is near. Next verse. Heal the sick. Raise the dead. Cleanse those who have leprosy. Drive out demons. Freely you have received. Freely give. Say that with me out loud. Freely you have received. Freely give. Tattered lives, brokenness, diseases, mental illnesses, those who had made poor choices, those that were demon-possessed, literally to the rock-bottom part of this world, I'm sending you out there. Keep going, next verse. Do not take any gold or silver or copper in your belts. Take no bag for the journey or extra tunic or sandals or staff. For the worker is worth his keep. I really love that because really what he's saying is, as I'm sending you, I'm telling you the preparation aspect of this is trust God. Because you're going to face things that you're going to immediately be overwhelmed with. You're going to find out there, you're going to wonder, maybe I should prepare for a journey. You ever packed for a journey before? Of course you have. Sometimes it's pretty overwhelming what we end up putting in the suitcase. We have to limit ours now to 50 pounds. And then you just have to pay $25. Thank you, Alaska Airlines. Not just Alaska. Just teasing all of you who work for Alaska. But the point is, in all of that, you know, we want to have everything ready. Well, I get it, but Jesus says, don't pack anything. Why don't you lean on me for this? And let's go to the next verse. And whenever you enter a town or a village that you enter into, search for some worthy person. I love that phrase, and I'm going to come back to that. Search for some worthy person there and stay at his house until you leave. As you enter the home, give it your greeting. And if the home is deserving, let your peace rest on it. If it is not, let your peace return to you. There is a phrase in the Bible that's often used, the person of peace. It's a phrase that we use in mission work a lot that talks about the person of peace. Kim over here has been a missionary for a long time, even in international locations. And she'll tell you that that's a phrase that's commonly used. And I've seen it happen in my life. God says, as you're going out there, the truth is, you really don't know all of the dynamics of where you're going and who you're going to meet. Let God do that for you. But you're going to eventually run into somebody that's an amazing person of peace. And when it does, you let that door open up and you follow through with it. And honestly, if you get nothing back, you kind of have to move on. Let's go to the next verse. And if anyone will not welcome you or listen to your words, then shake the dust from your feet. And when you leave that town, I tell you the truth, it will be more bearable for Sodom and Gomorrah on the day of judgment than for that town. In other words, and there's a lot to be said here, what we're saying is it's a broken and tattered world and some are not going to be responsive. And ultimately, you and I are not always responsible for all the brokenness. It's not our fault necessarily. Now, it sometimes is. It's a broken world. But what he's really saying is, let God open the doors, and sometimes you move on. And then this last verse, verse 16, that we're going to deal with this morning, says this, I'm sending you out like sheep amongst wolves, and therefore be as shrewd or wise as snakes, or in some versions, serpents. Be as shrewd as snakes and as innocent as doves. Great passage. Great truth. There's three pictures here that we're going to kind of unpack a little bit and kind of illustrate for us. It's Jesus' illustrations. In his masterful teaching, as he was about to send his followers and his disciples out into the world where they were going. And the first one is sheep. In other words, be like sheep amongst wolves. Now, as you can see in these photographs, the sheep is not necessarily always the most inspiring out there. I don't know which of those that you personally would like to identify with, right? Personally for me, I mean, I'm looking at all of that. They all certainly come in different colors, different shapes, different ears. I mean, I love the one on the right over there with his mouth wide open. That probably could be me, but that's what Joel's already saying. You know, yeah, there's Billy on that right side. Personally, what'd you say? Personally, I kind of want to identify with the one on the bottom right. But, you know, just because he's very majestic, some of you would maybe even put me in the center of the thing. I don't know. But but I tried to get all these different kind of feelings out there. Sheep are not necessarily impressive. I used to raise sheep. I actually did. And sheep are pretty dumb. All right? And they're wonderful, sweet, kind of, sort of. But it's not an overwhelming animal. It's not aggressive. It's meek and mild until you want to wrestle one, and that's a whole other story. But it's fascinating. He says, I'm sending you a sheep into the wolves. In other words, the wolf is the predator and the sheep is the food. We would think that Jesus would say, be the wolf. Go get him, tiger. Be a lion. No, be a sheep. And in other words, real quite honestly, simple. He says, be careful. Be humble. It's not a glamorous life. And it requires, if you're a sheep walking into a wolf pack, it requires amazing courage. You're not going to be immediately impressive. And the success of your going out there is not dependent upon how impressive you are or how smart you are. But when you do move forward, one of the fascinating things is that doors open for sheep in a way that doors never open for a wolf. When you think about the message that Jesus was giving to the disciples about where they were moving into this broken, tattered, bizarre world of leprosy and demon possession and wars and famine and broken homes and broken lives, it takes that those are the wolves out there ready to devour, and it takes an incredible sense of humility to live out there. But that's where Jesus sent the sheep. When you are walking through a door that God has invited you through, vulnerability is stronger than safety. 2 Corinthians 12, verse 8 says this. It says, I don't have this written out anywhere, but you want to write the reference down. And it says, 2 Corinthians 12, 8 says, my grace is sufficient. My power is made perfect in weakness. Be like sheep amongst wolves, he says. And following Christ as he leads us through the door, this is not a promise to be a great successful hero. It's not a promise to be on the front of magazines. It is a promise to be that I will be with you to the end of the age, but you will be as a humble sheep amongst a world that is ready to devour you in every way. You really have to sort of die to the world standard, so to speak. You have to you cannot necessarily live your life to strive to advance yourself. Let God do the advancing. Let God open the doors. Instead, you have to serve. Being sheep and walking through a door does that God give you does not mean that it will be easy. It does not mean that you will be successful necessarily by the world's standards. You will not necessarily be rich. Your great rewards and honoring, you will not arrive at this moment and get these big gigantic plaques on your wall. In fact, quite honestly, the world often won't necessarily even know your name. But your reward will that you will be used by God in a powerful way to bring hope and help into shattered lives. That's the sheep. That's the story of the sheep. How about the next illustration, the serpent? The serpent is, you know, kind of a little, that's an odd one. Now, we have illustrations of serpents in the Bible, of course, that come out to us out of the book of Genesis, and it's kind of that scary thing. And you think, well, why did Jesus say, you know, be like sheep, and then also be as wise as a snake, be as wise as a serpent out there? You know, Jesus was not some naive, well-intentioned dreamer that just says, oh, just be sweet and nice and pass out lollipops to everybody. That's not what he was saying. He said, when you get out there in the world like a sheep, you also have to be incredibly alert, incredibly aware. You have to be serious about getting into this very messy work that is out there in the world. He says also these doors that are open out there, they're not necessarily mysteries. They may be mysteries to you, but they're not some random thing. They may appear sometime to be random. You're going to hear a few in a minute. They may appear to be this kind of, whoa, where did that come from thing? But these are well-planned, designed things by God, and it requires a shrewdness. It requires a wisdom on our part to have our eyes and our ears open to see what God would have in front of us. So be wise as serpents, he says. It demands a high calling of awareness that's out there. Knowing how to sense things with your eyes, your ears, you know, the touch. What's there? Be as wise as snakes. They call for a high degree of learning skill. I think they call for a high degree of alertness that's out there, that's of the world, and not a complacency. It requires a high awareness of recognizing the needs of others that are around you. You know, a high degree of literally walking into a crowd and going, I see that hurt, I see that pain. That's exactly what Jesus did. It's not a naive world. Wisdom that says that we're called to also be connecting. We're connectors. We connect the needs of one person with the solution into another. I know how to help this person by maybe bringing this other connection into play here. Wise as serpents. It's like taking your gifts that you have, your experiences that you have, the background that you are, all of the things that make up who you are as a follower of Christ. When you give all of these elements, your personality, your skill, your background, your education, your failures even, that have now been given up to Christ and been forgiven, you take all of those kind of things and you recognize that I partially am being a shrewd person to say, God can use these things in a shrewd way to reach out to those who are out there suffering and tattered and broken, just like Jesus was already dealing with. That's who he was sending these disciples into that kind of a world. I think wise people have to be students of the world. You ever watch the news? I mean, I'm sort of a bit of a news hound, but I really do believe that as followers of Christ, I mean, I think you can certainly overdo it, but you really need to be aware of world events. Completely aware. I mean, Amy over here, I love to talk about people in the room, but Amy over here has been recently sending some emails, and she's extremely good. Amy Perotti is extremely good at connecting this incredible message that's happening in the world and bringing awareness to the church. Now, can you be educated about everything? Of course not. But most of us just live in this complacency of not knowing anything as we shelter our lives. Be students of the world. Be researchers of opportunities. Be a networker of somebody who is able to connect the dots along the way. Now, most of us kind of tend to live in an opposite illustration. In fact, the illustration I'm going to give you right now is a bit of an odd one here, Denise. And it's most of us have fortune cookie theology. You know what fortune cookie theology is? So right now, just to illustrate this, we got some ushers right now. They're all going to give everybody in the room a fortune cookie, all right? So please take the fortune cookie. We're going to pass the offering of fortunes, all right? And if we need some more, let's get them around the room real quick. And let's just throw me one, if you would, Denise. Just throw it to me. I don't care. Everybody needs a fortune cookie. Mike, come on up here, if you would. Mike, before you open yours, let's just do a little test. In fact, huh? All right, you already did it. Let's see. Let's just open our fortune here, Mike. Let's see what God... Wait, you know, and this is seriously, the whole idea is that in fortune cookie theology, we think, okay, I trust Jesus for my life. I don't really have to think about or plan anything. I'm just going to let que sera, sera, and maybe some magical lotto will help me get through life and the doors will open and I don't have to think about anything. So, Mike, what does your fortune say? This is pretty random. So what does it say?
You will not lose your hair like the person standing
there
next to you.
There you go. See, we had no idea that God's will really was found in fortune. By the way, it's Mike's birthday today, so that's his wish. That's his wish. What does it really say?
Avoid holding onto ideas just because you are used to them.
Oh, maybe God. Mine says you are older and wiser than the person standing next to you. So. It got half of it right. No, mine actually says, you will become an accomplished writer. Woo! The doors are opening. Now, Sori over here is already eating his cookie, and you're welcome. This is not communion. All right, so you can partake of your cookie. I'm not going to, because then I'll just get... But, you know, anybody got some complete random one that'd like to just read it? I'm not going to have many, but just maybe one or two that's funny. Okay. Good job. Thanks, Lloyd. Absence of hair makes the heart grow fonder. So I got some on the wall here I thought I'd show you just for fun. This first one, there's one that we really would like. Fortune cookie with a $100 bill. Did anybody get one of those? It wasn't God's will. How about the next one? The next one here says, if you can read that, it says, you will find your love today. If you can't read that. You know, we sometimes pull that out in theology. That's God's open door. What's the next one? The next one says, surprise, you're dead. I actually like that one. What about the next one? It says, if you can't read this, I'll read it for you. It says, it's 2011, not 1999. Your family just doesn't have the heart to say that you were in a coma for the last 13 years. I thought that was cute. I think there's one more, I think. Is there? Yeah, no, okay, there's not. So the point is, we live in this sort of a fortune cookie world of theology, and we, instead of open doors, we just want to open fortunes, open lottery tickets, open that magical moment when we don't have to think or observe. We just do what, it's funny to watch all of you eating your cookies out there in the room. It's kind of fun. Keep eating, all right? But here's the deal. When we live this way, let's read this out loud one more time, even with your mouths full of cookies. Open doors are invitations provided by God to act with God and for God. Open doors are not random chances. They're not accidental. God knows what He is doing. The next illustration of an animal is the illustration of doves. Be wise. We're going to send you as sheep into wolves. Be wise as serpents and innocent as doves. The doves in the bird world are pretty much what a sheep is in the mammal world. They are, sheep are not focused on, Jesus said, don't be focused on what we do, but instead be focused on who we are, our character. The world, what our world needs is not to be us for us to be isolated or outward in our deeds, but be instead a transformed character, a person of peace, a person filled with God's love who does move into a broken world. So be transformed to the character within you. That's why Jesus says, as the Father has sent me, so I send you. Not random, but of people of peace. The main thing that you need to take into the world, guys, carefully listen to this, is not stuff, it's not money, It's not incredible talent or abilities. What you need to take into the world when you walk through the open doors that God presents to you is who you are as a deeply devoted follower of Christ. A person of peace. So how are you going to cross the threshold? We're talking about doors. Jesus, in reality, in this story of Matthew 10, was talking to and telling His disciples 2,000 years ago and His disciples in this room, I'm sending you into the world as sheep, into wolves. Be as wise as serpents and be as gentle as a dove. God uses people of character who walk through open doors that He then presents to our lives. I'll tell you three stories. Three sort of illustrations. The first one is something that happened to me, and I don't want it to be all about me, but this is and I probably told this story. I know I've told it to small groups. Maybe I've told it in a sermon. But about a year ago, and there's absolutely nothing special about me here, so it's not about me, but about a year ago, I had all kinds of problems with my car. And when we get car problems, it was my pickup truck. So we get pickup problems. It's like everybody, you know, you don't have time to fix it. It's just, and I had a whole series of things that went wrong. Just a whole series of things. And I would love to tell that story, but it would take me about 45 minutes because it was crazy. But one thing after another, I got broke down. That led to one opportunity. I broke down somewhere else. It led to another opportunity. But this one time I broke down about a year ago, and I decided I was going to fix it myself because I just said, I'm 57 years old at that time. And I said, you know, I don't fix cars. I fix plumbing and I can fix toilet seats, right, Denise? She knows that because I fixed the one in the ladies' bathroom here the other day. So I could fix things, but I just don't know cars. I don't even like cars. So, but, you know, it's time for me to learn how to put an alternator in. Some of you who can do that, you're going to go, I can do that, no problem. Well, I couldn't. So, but Dave Rosengreen, our friend of our church, told me, he says, you go to these auto parts stores, you buy it, it's much cheaper, and they'll give you the tools. And sure enough, I went up to the auto parts store up here in Federal Way, and I'm up there. I mean, I am mad because I got there, I thought, plenty of time to fix this thing, put it in. And the guy sold it. He said, yeah, here's the tools. Here, he came out and he showed me a thought. Here's how you do it. All you have to do is just twist this knob, you know. And, you know, and then, you know, an hour later, I'm greased up top to bottom. I cut my hands, my arm on both sides. I'm bleeding all over the car battery. I'm mad. I'm quite certain I might have said a couple things that were inappropriate. But, you know, it was just a mess. And I'm out there going, God, I don't need this. But it's now too late. I can't even leave the parking lot. I don't have an alternator. Nothing's working. It's starting to get dark. It's getting cold. You know, it's late September. It was right before the GIC, and I was, I had a small group that night. I was late. I wasn't leading it, but I was mad. I'm missing my small group. And finally texted the guy. I said, you know, I don't know if I'll be there. Maybe no. Here's what's fascinating. I was sitting there with blood all over me, greased up, bleeding on the battery, and this car was near me of this woman. And she was, I didn't notice at first that she was struggling until all of a sudden I realized she said, sir, could you help me? And I said, ma'am, could you help me? I didn't actually say that, but sure. She said, I can't, I'm really struggling with some money and I'm really trying to get this battery together. Can you help me put the cable on the battery? I can do that. So, oh yeah, okay, yeah, you bet. So I'm, you know, with full confidence, like a real mechanic, I'm bleeding and greased up. You know, I'm putting that battery on her. We got her cranked up and started. And she, the short of the story is, she says, I begin to really think, okay, you know, all else said, God put me here for a purpose. And I said, my name is Billy. What is your name? She told me her name. And I said, oh, I said, well, God bless you. She said, I said, you know, I made some mention about how Christ, it wasn't just a fast spiritual conversation, but I certainly brought it into some realm. And she goes, oh my goodness, the truth is, I just recently found Christ about 3 months ago. And she says, there's this program up on Highway 99 called the Genesis Project. Now, if you're not aware of the Genesis Project, it's a project that our church does to rescue ladies out of sex trafficking. Our church invests in it financially. We invest in it with human beings. We made a big deal. And it happened to be that that month that she said she came to faith in Christ, our missions team had said, you know what we're going to do? They're struggling financially. We're just going to pay for the month of July. For all of the programming, that's the month that she said she came to faith. So I'm out there, greased up, bloodied, completely not a mechanic, praying with this woman as she's getting her kids back, getting her life together, getting her addictions under control, and praying with her in the parking lot of a stupid auto parts store that I had no business of being in. God's invitation for us to act for Him and with Him.
That's really an amazing story of having the right kind of attitude, walking through an open door, even when life is not treating you well in that moment. It's saying, I'm open to the Lord leading me to engage with whoever He calls me to. As Lifeway Church, we have an open door that we are praying about how to walk through. And it's the open door, honestly, with the Syrian refugees. Most of us have seen in the news more and more about the crisis, really, that's been happening for nearly 5 years, where there are 12 million refugees coming out of Syria. 8 million of them are homeless within their country because of the war there. 4 million have fled into Europe and to the East, trying to find a place to be safe and to be home. At Lifeway, we have this global impact celebration, not because we just want to have a great thing for our church. We do it and we raise these funds. And right now, our mission team is trying to figure out how much we're going to give right now. And to be honest with you, a portion, hopefully a substantial portion of what comes out of this GIC in 2 weeks is going to go toward meeting some of the needs of these refugees. Along with that, I just want to ask you to start praying with us. What does our involvement look like over the coming months and years? How can we really make a difference in the lives of these refugees, many of them on the other side of the earth? Many of them will never have a chance to host, some of whom maybe we will as our government opens more and more to the idea of refugees coming here. But right now, will you pray with me for our attitude, for our heart, for our mindset, that we will have the right kind of mindset, the right kind of heart and attitude as we move forward? Father, we've seen some of the photos, if we've read some of the stories and watched some of the videos, our hearts are disturbed and hurt, and we can only imagine how you feel about these people who you made in your image, who live every day in fear, in worry, with huge physical needs, many of them with huge psychological needs because of the trauma they've experienced and the hurt they've felt because of the loss they've had. God, I pray that you would align our heart with yours, that you really would break our hearts for their circumstance and what they're going through. God, I pray that heart change that needs to happen in us would lead toward just a lot of wisdom in how we respond as a church in the Northwest to this need on the other side of the earth. God, I pray that maybe even some of us, you would put it on our heart now to engage with World Relief or World Concern or World Vision in ways to really meet some of those needs right now financially. God, for our leaders and for our mission teams, God, I pray that you would start to give us wisdom on how we can engage in long-term, sustainable ways to be there. Ultimately, God, I pray that you would use this situation not just to provide for people's physical needs, but Lord, let Jesus shine. God, let your witness become apparent. And God, I pray for these refugees that more and more of them would begin to know that there is hope in your name. And it's in that name of Jesus we pray. Amen.
So there's open doors with people just right around us. Literally, what appears to be random is not random at all. Instead of sheltering our lives, you meet somebody in a parking lot who needs help. You have open doors that are literally on the other side of the world that are right in front of us that we're trying to deal with. Our church is full of people like this. And this is, I'm going to brag on some of you for just a moment. We had our missions team meeting the other night. It was not only what we call our quadrant leaders of our Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, end of the earth, but our, you know, local and national, cross-cultural, international. But we had our champions of different ministries that got together. And it was a room, an impressive room, about 25 people that were a part of us. Some of you in this room were there. And champions who are out there saying, I want to follow through with the open door that's in front of me and lead our church into making a difference for Christ locally to internationally. You know, I just to brag for a minute, I mean, Carrie Littlewitz is sitting right over here in the middle of the room, and she's a few years ago decided and felt led to get involved in Haiti, and then that led to a whole series of opportunities, and that led then to getting involved in the Genesis Project, which I just talked about a few minutes ago. And she's up there providing help and hope and life to young ladies who are not only being rescued off the street, but are also then being discipled and being put back right so that they then in turn become not only disciples themselves, but disciples who make disciples so that they are now being sent out into the world. That's a champion. That's someone who's saying, I'm willing to let my life and whatever talents I have and whatever circumstances are be used by God to open the door and walk through the open door of opportunity, not for wealth or fame, but to make a difference, a real lasting difference. I mean, I saw Rich Long a while ago, and he's around in this service. And years ago, he gave himself in many ways, but one of those was to follow through the opportunity to go to Russia, which has, quite honestly, led into one of the greatest stories in the life of our church. The movement of what going on in Bryansk, Russia today came with him and a few others who just said randomly, okay, I'm in. We'll make a difference. So you got things locally. You got things internationally. You got, you know, Rick Kreckle sitting over here. And Rick, who's not only one of our quadrant leaders, but is heavily involved in missions, took on the project of saying, there's a lot of cultures that are moving to this city. You know, moving in amongst us that are from Somalia and Afghanistan and you know, Syria actually is coming soon. And what a huge difference that is making. I watched him the other night on Friday night with our first FIS meeting that we gathered with. And what a celebration it was with about 40 students from countries from around the world, some that we knew and some that are brand new into the country, from Myanmar, from Thailand. We have them from China. We have them from Japan. We have them from Turkmenistan. We have them from, I think we were told, 20 different countries of the world that come down there. And we get to know these kids. And some of them have come to Christ. And my wife, interestingly enough, at that meeting the other night, on Friday night, one of the girls was struggling, went back in the room and had a long visit, prayed with her about her needs, her family back in China. Open doors. I'm sending you out as sheep amongst wolves. Be as wise and alert and as a serpent. Be as gentle as a dove. God's open door to us is kind of summed up in this very simple way, and that is we got to pray. We got to learn how to pray. We got to learn how to give. We got to learn how to go. God has no shortage of open doors for our life. You don't have to find them yourself. God has got open doors. In fact, there are, quite honestly, so many open doors that sometimes it's hard to know which one to choose. But you know what? You don't have to create the opportunities. You need to learn how to pray, and you need to learn how to give, and you need to learn how to go and walk through the door when that right opportunity comes. At our GIC in 2 weeks, quite honestly, actually 2 weeks from right now, we're going to be kind of laying those three words out there and saying, what are we as a church willing to, how are we learning to learn how to pray, learn how to really give and make a difference, and learn how to say, I'm in. That's our challenge. It's not always going to be a perfect door. It's not always going to be a perfect opportunity. It may feel like a random moment at the first moment when you're sitting in the parking lot of an auto parts store, but you never really know what God can do. So here are my thoughts. What will keep us from walking through the door that God presents? I think quite simply, it's a few very simple things, but profound. Number one, our feeling that sometimes it's all about me, our self-consuming attitude. This world is not about me and my stuff. I fight that all the time. I'm challenging you as a follower of Christ. That's exactly what Jesus told them in Matthew 10. It is not about you. He didn't use those exact words, but that's exactly what he meant. It is not about you. God has saved you for eternity. It is now about me using you to walk through the door. And when you walk through that door, follow me. My spirit will be with you. But one of the problems we have is it's not about me. Secondly, it's this challenging circumstances. It gets too hard. In other words, sometimes of a low tolerance level. It's too difficult. Jesus said, my way can be difficult. Sometimes it is challenging out there. You're going to be sent as sheep amongst wolves. You may feel like you're getting eaten up at first. But he said, lo, I will be with you always, even to the end of the age. Christ will never abandon you. Fight the fear factor that comes in that says, I can't take this anymore. Number three, a short-sighted eyesight. In other words, that thing that sometimes leads us to regret. We feel like this is a dead-end street. I'm walking down a dead-end road. I'm better than this. God says, are you really better than this? No, you're not. You're not better than anything. Christ is the only thing that gives, any of us real value. Don't be short-sighted. Take a long view of everything. When you're standing in the parking lot of a store and you finally get a chance to meet somebody like that, you kind of thank you, God, for a stupid broken alternator and for my stupidity to want to try to fix it myself. Thank you, God. Thank you, God, for these bloody hands that spilled on the battery because you gave me an opportunity to see change. Fourth, is a fear of losing control, which is something we always want. As human beings, we always want to be in control. We have to learn to position ourselves in such a way to say that I'm really never really in control. You're not in control of anything, really. I'm not saying don't plan, don't manage, but God says, let me be in control. Don't be led into a life of anger or rash decision-making process. Or maybe the next one would be the lack of thinking deeply. In other words, the depth of insight. Take some moments to reflect on what God is doing. As I close this out this morning, a few other little thoughts that I want to give you, and that is, guys, I am not in charge. You are not in charge of opening what doors will be presented in your life. But you are in charge of how you're going to respond. The attitude that you're going to be walking into that door with. You cannot force doors open sometimes. You can't control all of that, but you can respond. You can be in control of the attitude that you are willing to give it up to God. It is what you do after the door opens that really makes all the difference. And it's not even really that the door has to be the perfect fit for you. I come back to my little alternator story. I can promise you that is not a perfect fit for me. But it's the attitude that you are willing to walk through that opportunity that God presents to you. I want us to read this verse out loud. It's a great verse, and I want you to write this down if you haven't already. Let's read this out loud together. It's on the screen. Whatever you do, work heartily as for the Lord and not for men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the inheritance as your reward. You are serving the Lord Christ. You serve Him, not me, not the church, not a program. You serve Him. Open doors are those invitations provided by God to act with God and to act for God. The next steps that I'm going to challenge you with as we walk toward, this is not just a lead up to our conference, this is a lead up to our life. But I really want you to do this. If you see it on that card, there's some next steps. And the next steps would be simply, first off, I'm really to start praying every day. God, today belongs to you. Where do you need me? What do you want of me? That has transformed my personal life, by the way. God, what do you want for today? I only have today, so this is what I have. This is what I'm asking. Secondly, I would maybe even challenge you to read that Matthew 10 passage. There's a lot more to it than we were able to tackle today. It's powerful. Because and read it with the context over and over again that he's talking to you, not to even the disciples. I mean, 2,000 years ago, he was to them. He's talking to you and me. And I would start making a list, thirdly, of people in your life that you become aware of. Write people's names down and start praying for them, whoever they are. And open your heart to praying and giving and going. Here's what I want us to do. I'm going to invite our worship team, if they would, come on up. And I want you to stand with me, and we're going to pray. Open up your hearts. Open your mind. And even right now, as I lead you in this prayer, I want you to just say, God, here I am. Here's my heart. Here's my life. Make it your prayer, not my leading, your prayer. Here's my life. I open my heart up to you. This is my life, but I want my life to belong to you, God. Take my circumstances, take my the meager things that I have. And when the door of opportunity comes along, God, for me, help me to say, I'm in. I'm going to learn to pray. I'm going to learn to give. I'm going to learn to walk through that door. Don't let me live random anymore. I give you my heart. That's my prayer.